Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Not too bad so far today. We have had just about everybody here on Laker Media Day, UCLA Training Center, and joined right now by Talen Horton Tucker, THT, joining us. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate it.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So we've been talking about this. Five different Hall of Famers have stopped by and talked to us today. So what's it like as a young player in the league going into that locker room every day and seeing not just, okay, there's LeBron, you've been teammates with, there's Dwight Howard, and there's Carmelo Anthony, and there's Russell Westbrook, crazy. And there's Anthony Davis, just one after the next.
Just being around a group of guys like this, I feel like, you know, why not, you know, learn and try to, you know, reach the same level as those guys. So just being able to come in and see them every day and see who they are and see why they are who they are and I'm appreciative of it. It's a once in a lifetime thing. Being a Laker is crazy. So just being a Laker with these guys is even better.
Talen, how are you only 20? Can you explain that?
Man, I don't know, man. You got to ask the man upstairs, man. Something's crazy.
Well, one of the things that we got a chance to hear from Rob Pelinka last week, and mm-hmm. he talked specifically about you and his expectations for you this upcoming season. He mentioned defensively how he'd really like to see you thrive on that spot. What'd you do this offseason to make sure that you're in a position that you're obviously continuing to grow in your career?
Mm-hmm. Just trying to be in the best shape as possible. Coming into this offseason was something that, you know, I tried to, you know, make a like a key thing for me going into it. So just being able to come in and, be ready for whatever they have me, doing is going to be, important for me. And I feel like, why not try to be as best as I can here? I feel like it's the best place to be. So,
you know, you mentioned it, that being a Laker in this city is a special feeling. This is the only team that you've known in your NBA career. Yeah. Guys that come from other places, do they explain that, hey, this is not what it's like everywhere else?
Yeah, it's crazy. Just, my first year coming in, they always used to tell me that this isn't like the real NBA. But just being able to, that speaks volumes for the type of organization that we're a part of. So just being able to, be here is a blessing for me, and I'm not going to take it for granted at all.
Sure.
Talen Horton Tucker taking some time to join the Travis and Sliwa Show Lakers Media Day. You know, Talen, it's interesting because by the time you really got going with the Lakers, a lot of that was happening in that Orlando bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And then last season, you don't have a chance to be playing in front of 20,000 fans at Staples Center. I feel like I'm curious if you've given that thought. There's a lot of Laker fans this year that are going to be cheering for you like you've never felt before because you've done so much before they were even around. What's that kind of? Have you given that any thought of what Staples Center and some of these road arenas are going to be like?
I haven't really experienced it or felt it yet. So just being able to actually, get a chance to, actually see and feel that this year with, being back, with fans being back is going to be amazing for me. So I'm excited to see it, hopefully we can get another ring and that'll help everything.
Mm-hmm. This is something that we've talked about with everybody that's come by today. And just because there's so much talent, because there's so much experience, how do all the pieces fit together? What's a realistic timeline on, okay, these five guys play really well together, and then we can slide this player in, or these three pieces are good together, but maybe this piece doesn't fit as well. Does it take camp? Does it take a month or two of the season? How long does it take before everybody knows exactly, okay, this is my role on this team?
I feel like, that was a big thing, coming over. Everybody is going to have a role, so just being able to, sacrifice and, come into that. I feel like, with the group of guys that we have, it wouldn't take long, just being with the professionals that they are and how they handle themselves. I feel like everything, pretty much could go smooth. So just being able to have that is a blessing, too, because I know you don't have that in the NBA a lot.
THD, final one. I know, just kind of thinking about how young you are, I know there's the LeBron, but were there other guys on this team that you grew up watching? And, were you watching a lot of games of Carmelo? Were you watching a lot of games of Westbrook? Is there individuals that you look at and it's like, all right, this is going to be pretty cool. I get to be across these guys.
It's crazy just, with AD being from Chicago, him growing up and in front of me, seeing him was crazy for me at first. And then, just coming to the NBA and then LeBron's my teammate, then Rondo's my teammate, and Carmelo Anthony's my teammate now, and then Russell Westbrook's always like, What?
Who's next? Do you take that credit? Do you say, look, they're all coming?
They're coming to teach me something, man. They come to teach me something. I look at it as that, more as that. And I feel like, you know, it's a blessing to be around guys like that.
I ask this question to professional athletes all the time, especially younger ones. Did you have your welcome to the NBA moment where you're like, oh my gosh, that's so and so? Or whether it's a game, did you have one of those moments?
You know, just being around this type of group of guys, it didn't take me that long to get it. So, just coming in and seeing them like the first few days of practice, something crazy was happening. So just being around those guys, it's been great. And, you know, I'm excited for it.
We're looking forward to it, THC. Thank you for joining us and looking forward to watching you all season long.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate awesome. You.
All right, that's Talen Orrin Tucker right
there. It's interesting, isn't it, Al, that all of a sudden you go from veteran to a guy like you said 20 years old. It's just they have these two extremes on this team, this incredible amount of experience and then this youth in a player like him, or whether it's some of these other guys that they went out and acquired during the offseason. But he is in such a different spot in his career than everybody else.
Crazy. That's the thing that's the thing that trips me out about THT is, you know, you could look around and this is so unique because not only is he only 20, they're depending on him.
Sure. No, he has a role on the team. He's an important part of the team.
They paid him to, you know, obviously be a part of this team. And I thought it was interesting. I mentioned in Palenka. Palenka said he's got to be one of those defenders that we can rely on. I mean, he's got a wingspan of you just kind of look at him. He looks like a guy that can do so many different things from a defensive side. He wants him to be more of a playmaker. So you're asking a 20-year-old who's playing with all these other greats, hey, you're not just going to be sitting on the bench doing nothing. We're going to need you to contribute, and I think that's special.
To give you an idea, I have a 20-year-old son.
Yep.
Okay, so that's different. Mm-hmm. That you know, he has got his buddies, and I like them. They're nice kids, but that his buddies are LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Carmelo Anthony, that to be thrown into the deep end of the pool like that, and to your point, it's not
great
just
experience,
hey,
for him.
Sit over there and watch and learn and do what LeBron does and do what Russell Westbrook does and just soak it all in. Be
Which
a sponge.
Is common on championships.
Of course it is
for
of,
these
of,
younger players. Of, that's what makes him so.
Of course it is, but that's not. It's do that, and oh, by the way, we're going to need you tonight to D up a player. We're going to need you tonight to go. You're going to need to get 12 or 14 points. We're going to need things from you other than just being
Go guard Dame over there. Go guard Dame for 10 minutes
like
over there.
That sounds like fun. You ready to D one of these guys up?
You know, the more I spend time here, the less and less confident I get in my own individual game.
I don't know why.
Much more appreciated being at a gym with 54-year-olds.
Yeah, so let's go back to Dwight for a second. Yeah. I thought Dwight said something really interesting at the very beginning with the conversation we were having with him, and it was, hey, it's my job to bring spirit. It's my job to bring energy. It's my job to make sure that the crowd is hyped and all of these things. Look, I get it. That's Dwight's personality. He's up. He's bubbly. He's all of these things. But everybody has that day, Al, where it's like, you know, I'm not feeling it, man. I'm good. Somebody else do it. I'll do it tomorrow. I did it yesterday, but today it's your responsibility to do it. He doesn't seem to have that day. He seems to have that I know my role in this. He's going to play defense. He's going to block shots. He's going to bother people. But he also knows he's got to bring energy every single day. That's a real thing.
It's funny. When I mentioned to him, and the reason why I was bringing it up, that during post-game shows, his name came up a lot. It wasn't about, well, why'd you sign here? No, it wasn't that. It was
where is he?
Laker fans, you know, I think many people thought this dude could be the difference of winning a chip or not. That's how, you know, key, integral of a role that he had. Last season, just remember, it was Marc Gasol and it was Montrezl Harrell. It was completely different what the Lakers had when it was Dwight and JaVale. And this year, they obviously go back to Dwight and, you know, and DeAndre Jordan.
I want to go back to this, too. And I know I've asked this question to more than one guy that sat down with us today.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important. And I think it's so important that the player understands this, and I don't know if Montrezl, and this is not a criticism of them, it's just an observation, Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder in particular, I don't know if they understood that being a Laker is different than being on these other teams, that being a role player on the Lakers is different than being a role player on other teams, that it's not just, oh, this is my NBA team for the time being. The standards are different. The scrutiny is different, and the want is just a little bit different as well. And when you hear Ariza say it, when you hear THT say it, when Dwight says, "Oh yeah, coming back," that Russell Westbrook, you know, when he's talking about, "I'm coming home," DeAndre Jordan, "Purple is my favorite color," you can hear it in their voice that they get that.
So I'll give some defense to some of the players that you were talking about. First of all, no, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And I think they're at a stage of their career where you're 26, 27 years old. Maybe that's not your priority, right? Your priority is going to be a little bit different. Your priority is – Dennis Schroeder yesterday said something in his Boston Celtics press conference that he didn't think he was a good fit for the Lakers. He didn't think it was a good fit. I agree with him. You know, I'm being honest, right? Like, I appreciated his honesty. I agree with him. No, he was not a good fit with the Lakers. And I think that was kind of vice versa there. So when you talk about some of these players that you're referring to right now and you're saying they get it, they understand it, it's Dwight, maybe because they got 8-9 years on these guys. Maybe Dennis Schroeder, by the time he's 33, 34 years old and understands, he's going to look at that opportunity in L.A. a lot different than he looks at it today. So I think there's going to be a little bit of that. And, you know, these guys are at a stage of their career. That's why THT is just so interesting to me. But most of these guys are at a stage of their career where they know championship is all that matters. Dwight said it's not about the fame. It's not about the money. It's not about the, he's like, we've all gotten paid.
We've all gotten the famous stuff. I've already been the octopus. It's about going and winning another championship, right?
And I think that's what it comes down to.
Here's something I've always wanted to say on this show. You ready?
Yeah.
I want to go back to something that LeBron James told you and I earlier on the show. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Al. So, LeBron,
I can hit right now. I'm looking. We're basically just off the court. I'm just telling you, I can shoot 45% from the three right now. This corner right here, I'm shooting 45%.
I don't know if you could get the ball to the rim from
that distance.
Don't do
that, bro. Don't do that.
That's a long. That's the corner three.
Because the banner's in the
way. It's the shortest three ball.
Banner.
It's a waste.
The camera's in the way. But other than that, I'm shooting 45%.
I don't think so. Right now, in your suit, I'll let you take the jacket off. You walk out to the free throw line. How many you make?
First of all, I'm getting kicked out.
Out of 10. No. We've gotten permission. Everybody's fine.
Everybody's fine.
You get to take your jacket off, but you're in your hard shoes. You're in your dress shirt.
The dress shirt's not helping.
No, it's not.
It's not going to help.
A little snug.
I'll hit 6 of 10.
Yeah.
6 of 10.
I think that's about right. That's about the right number. I would take the over on you at 6 for 10.
Yeah.
I think that's what it would be.
On purpose, then, I would get 5 of 10.
All right.
Don't want you to win.
I've always wanted to say this, and I get to say it today for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James was on the show with us earlier today, and I asked him the question about, you know, Laker fans love to, hey, let's put Dwight at the 5, we'll put LeBron at the 4, Russ is the point guard, all
yesterday, Lakers talk, I figured it all out. I should have handed Vogel just on the sheet of paper.
Here you go.
Hey, I got it.
Here you go. So I asked LeBron that question, and here's his response.
Because we have so many intangible guys. We got guys that can play so many different multiple positions. At the end of the day, what only matters to us is the win. You know, and whoever out there during crunch time, you know, is needs to get it done. You know, we got so many guys that can get it done throughout the course of a game. You know, but it's not even about, you know, the last 6 minutes. Everybody get caught up in the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. You know, games can be won in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. That's when you can put the team away, and that's when you can really, you know, hit home on what you need to do to get better and better and better. So, Coach, you know, I feel bad for Coach Vogel because he has so many options you can go to.
Well, that's the question, right? And it's a great problem to have. But what LeBron said at the end there, it's like, okay, he's got to figure this out. He's at least got to put a blueprint in place of this is how we're going to execute this situation. Then there's the reality of as the game is just flowing and things are happening and this guy's got the ball and this guy's over here, figuring it out in real time. And I think, you know, again, we've talked about this so much. There's so much talent in this room. There's 5 Hall of Fame players on this roster as you just look at it. But how do they fit together when it's time to, you know, it's a 3-point game with 4 minutes to go. How does it come together? That's the question that Frank Vogel has to figure out.
And I don't think anybody has an answer. You know, I'll kind of play cheerleader here for a second, but here's the reality. Trav, it looks fantastic on paper. I think this is all going to work out. I told you this. Lakers and the Nets are going to be in the NBA Finals unless something drastic happens with one of those two teams. It's supposed to be the Lakers and the Nets.
You mean like Kyrie not playing home games, something like that?
Potentially that. No, I think they still get to the NBA Finals. But with that said, this is the one thing that I think sticks out to me. I'm not sure. You know, like let's just say closing 5.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be part of the challenge I think LeBron was talking about for Coach. You cool with telling Carmelo, hey, you're on the bench. You cool with telling Dwight, hey, I need you on the bench. Rondo, you good that you're on the bench? Let me just kind of go through a couple more names. Trevor, yeah. You're on the bench. This guy on the bench. There's going to be plenty of games where that's the scenario. And I think that's going to be the biggest question mark with the Lakers. You good? Everybody good? Is Carmelo sitting on the bench saying, don't worry about me, go get that W? And I think that's going to be – we can all sit here during media day and say, this is going to be no problem at all. They're going to run into situations like that. But the thing that I think I feel most optimistic about, these guys, it's not their first rodeo. It's not the first time they've been in this position or this situation. So when those predicaments come up, are these guys going to sacrifice enough to say, yes, absolutely, I don't care, let's go in? I think they got the right guys to do it. It's going to be different once it starts on Sunday.
Yeah, it's almost, and I wonder how, you know, Frank Vogel will go through this. And, you know, we'll hear from him coming up a little bit later on. He joined us as well earlier today. You almost reverse engineer it, right? LeBron and AD are going to be on the court. We're done, right? They're on the court. Every important possession, they're going to be on the court.
Russ is going to be on the court.
I think so, too. I think that he's going to be
Russ
on the court,
will be out
too.
The court.
Mm-hmm. LeBron and AD are going to be on the court. I think Russell Westbrook will be on the court. I'm still.
I agree with you. Russ will be on the court.
Yeah,
yes,
No, look. I want to make it very clear. I do not automatically put him in there. I think there are going to be a bunch of scenarios where maybe that's not how it goes. I think more often than not, yes. Mm-hmm. So you got two more spots to go. I think it depends. You want to go big? Do you need somebody that can handle the ball? Another. So is Rondo in there? Do you need somebody that can knock down a shot? Does that mean that Melo's in there?
Depends on predicaments.
Right.
You're playing. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So that they are so multifaceted that they are the optionality that they have for this team is really remarkable, because it's not just, okay, here are your four and there's one. It's two plus. I think it's, hey, look, I'm not going to be obtuse about the whole thing. I think it's Russell almost every time, but not every time. I think there will be some other lineups there, but that you have two plus spots to play with, there's not another team in basketball that's looking at that. And not just because health or minutes or fouls or whatever else it might be, but, hey, I need this guy to do these things. They have so many different people that can do so many different things.
Were you surprised when we got a chance to connect with Anthony Davis? Were you surprised how he kind of really went out of his way to point out how everybody's got a chip on their shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
And, I, you know, when you talk about guys that have accomplished as much as they have, I guess surprise is not the right word, but when he says LeBron's got a chip on his shoulder, Rondo and Dwight got a chip on his shoulder, Carmelo's never won a ring, Westbrook's never won, it kind of puts it in perspective that these dudes do have something, and I think a lot of this goes back to their stage, what stage they are in their career. But Pelinka literally put together a squad where it feels like there's going to be a lot of these guys that, it's the perspective is very simple. You're either winning a championship or you had a failed season. You say it with the Dodgers, you say it with the Rams, Lakers, obviously no different in this predicament.
There
as well.
Aren't 10 teams in all of sports that go into the season with that. And the Lakers happen to be one of them. The Dodgers happen to be one of them. The Rams happen to be one of them. And that chip that you're talking about, the chip on your shoulder, here's Anthony Davis earlier on the Travis and Sliwa show.
A lot of people are counting us out. You know, I have a chip to come back, you know, just from the health standpoint. You know, Bron does as well. You know, we didn't perform at our best last year because of health reasons. And, you know, Russ wants to win. Melo wants to win. You know, Dwight wants to win again. You know, DJ wants to win. You know, Malik Young guy wants to, like, all these guys have a chip on their shoulder that they have something to prove. And we actually been dealing with that since I've been here. You know, every year it's been, okay, chip on our shoulder to prove, something to prove. And we all have that chip, man. We have that edge to make sure that we come out and do the things necessary to win a championship.
I almost have, like, nothing else to add to that. You know what I mean? Because I think it does kind of – it puts things in perspective. And this is going to be the challenge for the Lakers. And I'll say this again. I mentioned this about an hour ago. AD came on and – the dude looks different, and I genuinely believe that. I really feel like he put on 10, 15 pounds of muscle, and I was trying to get from Vogel just the full game plan. What did he eat this offseason?
He wasn't giving it up
to
you.
How much weight exactly?
I don't want to get in any specific numbers.
I don't want to get any specific. Well, as I slid him the starting lineup once. But AD, you know, obviously, you know, AD's spot is interesting, Trav. The guy got so much you-know-what last season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember us, we were actually doing our show together at that time, that run for the Lakers. And I talked about how much I could not, I thought it was so unfair what they were saying about AD. And then I hated that AD felt like he had to come out in game six and see if it could go against the Phoenix Suns.
He wasn't right.
And wasn't right. He could yeah. The moment he
– He wasn't right.
The moment the game yeah. started, I'm like, get this dude off the floor.
Yeah.
I wonder if for Anthony Davis, you know, he's walking into this season with a – I'm going to shut everybody up this year. And you know what? I'm going to have a full offseason to be prepared. And, oh, by the way, I've only been in the Lakers 2 years. I already won one championship. You know, I thought
he's batting 500.
I thought he had so much unfair criticism towards that end of the season. And we'll see how much that obviously
Let's go back to that.
Play.
You know, one of the things that I asked him about, you know, because, look, it's part of his resume. There's a Wikipedia page, however you want to look at it. He gets hurt, and he's missed time because he's had some injuries along the way. And it's not because he's out of shape. Look at him. I mean, he's not. And I asked the question, is it just sometimes luck that it happens to this guy instead of that guy? And it's just good fortune that somebody gets and someone else does not. And the look on his face.
People were questioning his pain threshold. Yeah, well, I'm like, how the hell can somebody question whether a guy is in pain or not?
The look on his face was, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's, yes, it's just, this isn't I don't want to. It's I can't. And I'm hurt. And if I can't run and jump,
the hell do you want me to do?
Stop and right. do all these things. You know, what would you like me to try
want
and
me
do?
To guard Aiden?
Yeah, I didn't go home and take out a hammer and start wailing away at my joints. It's just this is the way that it went, and this is the way that it is. And you can tell. Look, he was wonderfully pleasant and gave us a great conversation. But you can tell there's a little edge with just in that topic of, you know, I am so over this idea of we're not, as opposed to just let everybody get right and we're going to be fine.
Yeah, Vogel talked about this, where it was like last season was one of those years where it was so difficult for this squad to come back and just be ready for another 72-game grind because it was such a short offseason. We know how much has been made of that. One of the things that I think coming into this year for the Lakers – Trav, they were eliminated in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have as much of a break as any of those playoff teams that you're going to face this upcoming year. Now, there's also, you know, the misfortune of anything can happen. Like you mentioned, injuries could happen, all that stuff. But they're going to now, when I say, you know, it's okay to put some excuses to last season and just say, hey, they weren't healthy enough. And, oh, by the way, less than a year ago, they won a championship. This year, they won't get that luxury that I think a lot of people gave them because they didn't win a championship.
All right, so we just heard a little sound from LeBron. We heard a little bit from AD. Carmelo Anthony had a couple of things, too, that I want to get into as well that just fill me with an incredible amount of optimism heading into this season.
45% right here. 45% three-point shooter.
I'll give you the 60 from the foul line, from the three-point line. You're not making 2 out of 10 from right there. You are below the line. You are not.
Why do you
gotta
go two of ten? Say 3 of 10.
Because I don't think you can make 3. That's why I picked the exact number that I want to pick. It's all coming up. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. The only thing we're missing today, Al, is wings.
What are we missing here?
We're missing wings, and we're missing Jolene's Wings and Beer. Right?
They're my love
new
the music.
Go-to spot for wings and pizza. Homemade sauces, epic flavors, unbelievable sides, and they have all sorts of cool things. Like
have you tried Nashville Spicy?
I have not tried it yet. I need to get on that. Roni Forever Pull Apart Pizza Sticks. That's exactly what it sounds like.
That sounds pretty good.
That's exactly what it sounds like. They're pizza sticks that you pull apart and you eat them, and they got the cup and char pepperonis, and they're wonderful and awesome. Perfect for your next game day celebration. Maybe you're watching the Lakers preseason on Sunday. Maybe
how about a little garlic
like
parmesan?
That. You could do that too. Available for takeout or delivery through Jolene's.com. Get on it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I'm not sure that 2 is an a little high. I think maybe 1 out of 10 from behind. Do you know how far that is?
Well, it's funny because now I'm looking and I'm just saying, like, yep, that's probably where I'd Euro step right there, give a little shimmy and fade away 18-foot jumper on the baseline. But that's that's you have to envision it first.
We're here at the Lakers training facility. There are basketballs all over the place.
I just pulled a hamstring describing it.
even if it means I get kicked out of here or arrested or whatever,
I'm going to need to see you
with a little crossover Euro step from behind the three-point line, and you let one go.
I'll get one of the social guys that are not paying attention. That's the guy that I'll cross over. He has no idea what's going on. He's literally there just for Instagram.
Look, I've already seen you dance in the end zone at SoFi Stadium.
That
played during pregame. I don't know if you know this or not, but we have promos that play at SoFi Stadium before the Rams games.
Whether I knew or I didn't, I'm pretty sure you would remind me that we do.
And it was the one with you dancing in the end zone. Football helmet on, dancing in the end zone. And I believe the exact quote was, as you were doing it.
It was actually more awkward than that. I wouldn't give it that much credit. The real get for us is the question is going to come down to, will we have anything at Staples Center? Will we have anything
So either way is fine by me.
Oh, for me, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, there are two places I have left to get. I need to get the Rose Bowl
and Dignity Health,
and I need to get Dodger Stadium. Those are the two that I need to get. Everything else at Honda Center, Big A, Coliseum, the SoFi, Staples, Bank of California. I've pretty much got it.
Yeah, there's
maybe Petco just to see if I can dip into another market.
The way you're looking at other players, and while you're describing all this, they're like, "Wow, that's a big deal."
It is a big deal.
Travis Rogers guy.
they only put it on Rogers at the most important part of the games. All right, so Carmelo Anthony.
It airs at midnight. There's nobody in the arena.
Yeah, you're driving by, you see this big flash of white light. It's like they put Travis Lee up outside. That's exactly what it was driving by the bank. Absolutely. I'll take it. I'll take 2 to 4, whatever you got. Carmelo mentioned us earlier today, or I should say came by and talked with us earlier. He was talking about the only thing that is left on his resume. There is one thing he has left to do, and that's win a championship.
I don't have to sugarcoat it, man. I'm here, you know, to have an opportunity to win a championship, and that mindset that I have, that we have, is a very sharp mindset right now, and you can just feel the energy. You can feel the energy when we talk. You can feel the energy when we in the building, just being around in this atmosphere. It's a hell of a feeling. So, I'm going to enjoy it. Definitely, I'm going to enjoy it.
So, a couple things on this. He's been in some predicaments, Trav, these last couple of years. He got a chance in Oklahoma City to play with Russ. He got a chance to play with Paul George. He got that opportunity in his last stint. He was in Portland with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. He's had chances to play with James Harden when he was in Houston. You know, Trav, when I hear Carmelo say that, he's got to look at this opportunity like no other opportunity in his career, because the reality is I don't care what other all-stars you played for, you played with. Russ is the third best player on this team. Russ was the leader of your team when you were in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Carmelo is fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth important guy on the team. I honestly don't know where to put him.
It doesn't matter. That's what's so exciting about it.
But that's when you hear a guy like Carmelo, it's no surprise or shock that it's a championship or nothing for him. He's done everything in his career, like you mentioned. All these individual accolades. And I think this is kind of the common theme with a few of these. It's unique in that LeBron and AD have won. LeBron won't stop winning. You know, LeBron... It's actually comical you asking questions about LeBron to other his peers.
You couldn't put it in words.
Ariza was like, "What do you want me to tell you? Like, I don't know what you want me to tell
you." That's why it's so important to ask, because it's so amazing to me. I don't have the words for it. I thought maybe another NBA player might have the words for what it's like to go to the NBA Finals 10 times in 18 seasons. It's absurd.
So just to kind of play off of that with Carmelo, Carmelo gets it. He obviously understands it. I think a lot of these other vets understand it as well. And THT is still only 20 years old.
It's
with all that accomplished.
Just very quickly here.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony is a multiple-time Olympic gold medalist. Mm-hmm. He is a 10-time NBA All-Star. He's a 6-time All-NBA player. He is a scoring champion. He was on the All-Rookie team. There's nothing really left for him to do at this point except for win that championship. And that's why... when you look at him, when you hear him, when you watch him, you know that there's just one thing left. I am here to make shots if they need me to make shots. I'm here to grab a rebound if they need me to grab a rebound. I'm here to compete at practice to make sure that everybody's ready to go. This is the last thing left for me to do. And a basketball player, he's walking straight to the Hall of Fame, just like LeBron and AD and Dwight and all these other guys. To have guys there that's a singular item left on their list, I think lifts the entire energy of the building, the entire focus of the building, and he's not the only one. You've mentioned Russ a few times, too.
Somebody hit me yesterday on Lakers Talk and tried to compare this team to the 2004 Lakers when Karl Malone came and Gary Payton.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think. I'm like, I don't see any comps there. I see some comps. But I think the difference is that 2004 Lakers team that lost to the NBA Finals against the Detroit Pistons. Pistons handled the Lakers in five games, right?
Even down to the last 5 minutes, you thought the Lakers were coming back.
I started the game over after the game ended, and I said, no, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. Let me rewind it. But that 2004 team, Trav, that I kind of look back at, I kind of think to myself, I don't know if there's similarities to it, but you talk about Carmelo this late in his career chasing a ring. Karl Malone was chasing a ring. Gary Payton eventually got one, but he was chasing a ring. It's not uncommon for really good Hall of Fame players to chase a ring at the end of their career. Do you see similarities in that 2004 team?
I see similarities in the sense that a bunch of very accomplished guys have come over to a team, but this team feels different because as good as Shaq and Kobe were, there was discord. They were not good together. They were good together in the sense that they'd won three titles in a row, but the conflict between the two of them was at an all-time high.
They're not hanging out before after weekends, right?
There's this vibe of, are you a Kobe guy? Are you a Shaq guy? You know, Karl Malone, what do you mean? I just got here five minutes ago. Yep. I don't know which team I'm on.
He's trying to win a chip. Chasing a championship.
There's none of that with this group. There's none of you're on this guy's side or that guy's side. It's, hey, we're all here to be on the Lakers side. We're all here to win a championship. It's all LeBron's side. It's all AD's side. There are no factions inside of this, and that's how good Kobe and Shaq were, that they were still able to win despite the fact
competed
that they
against
on the
each
same,
other off the court and then with each other on the court.
Other than new guys, accomplished guys coming to a new team, no, this does not feel terribly similar to me.
Yeah, I think the LeBron piece, you know, I think is the best way of kind of describing it. LBJ has such a respect from all these other players, and it's not a dude. I mean, you know, if you're on LeBron's team, Ariza mentioned this as well. He talked about it. He's like, look, if you're on LeBron's team, you got a chance to win a championship. Like, I was trying to explain to him or trying to describe championship type of rosters when he won one with the Lakers in 2009. And kind of comparing to this roster, what are some of the elements that maybe we don't understand? He's like, yeah, LeBron James. Let me go ahead and start there before you try to think about this too far into this. But I think that the LBJ factor, that's the part where LeBron's also not the guy where I think he's got to say everything. You know, like, let me explain what I mean.
No.
He's okay if Rondo takes a big piece of the conversation.
Sure.
He's okay if Dwight's got something to say.
Carmelo.
He's okay if
Russell.
Palenka wants to come in or Frank. And that's also a unique kind of leadership style. Maybe the comparisons we were making about Tom Brady and some of these other greats, I don't think every all-time great player is okay with hearing others, and I feel like open to saying, you got something to say, let me hear it. That's part of his leadership.
Did we talk to Anthony Davis second? I know DeAndre Jordan was first, but I think Anthony
Davis was the second
player we talked to. And he said,
which was weird because you told him, I'm not ready.
Can you just wait? We got to get squared away. But he said it when I asked him when we were talking about injuries and the chips that you were talking about. And I, you know, how important is it to be honest with the coaching staff, with the training staff,
right,
saying, hey, look, I don't feel quite right today. And what he said, yes, it's important to do that. But he also said, you know, for some of the younger guys, maybe for some of the guys, come to me and Bron, we'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. That you could tell that he has taken ownership and a leadership role as well. It's, look, LeBron James is on a shelf with no one. He's by himself.
Yeah.
He's on his own, unless it's Tom Brady or Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan. That's it.
Yep.
So everyone else is trying to get to where he's getting to. But you could tell that AD was very comfortable with one of these guys needs to come to me or Bron or whoever it is, and we'll take care of it. That leadership role doesn't have to go through one guy with this team.
That's why you always come to me to talk to Amanda.
Always.
You know I mean? That's
without exception. Without exception. Is it cool if I go get a cup of coffee? Is she going to get mad if I go down there?
Yep. Let me handle it, Trav. Just let me handle it. Just focus on the show. You know, we haven't even mentioned this, and this is part of the beautiful thing of being back. By the way, we're at, you know, at the Lakers training facility. It's been a long time since we've been at the Lakers training facility. You got all the championships. Look at Jeannie Buss's office. Look up there, Jeannie Buss's office. You got all the,
quite a few.
You know, obviously the championship trophies there for the Lakers. AD to our left. I mean, it is so cool to be back in this environment, and I know for Laker fans, this is going to be special this year because not only did you not get a chance to celebrate the Lakers winning a championship after they beat, you know, they won in Orlando. Last season was just a, it was a very awkward season. As much as I thought the Orlando championship was so weird and here
the
they are playing in a hotel ballroom or wherever they're playing, right?
Right.
Last season was incredibly weird too because you had the first X amount of games where you had zero fans, so I could hear Michael Thompson at any time, whether I had my headset on or not, right? Like at Staples Center, you had that environment. But this is what I think, you know, when I'm mentioning how special it's going to be for Laker fans this upcoming season, what's going to be special is you get all these guys and you get a packed arena and you get to be back at these games and now you're waiting in line like everybody else, like you used to, and sitting in traffic because you're going to watch the Los Angeles Lakers play basketball. There's going to be some normalcy.
You know what's crazy? You asked AD this question and then I kind of doubled back on it and he put it away that I had never heard it said before that really brought the whole thing home. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned it before. The Lakers championship in the bubble had not even happened at this point last year. We're still working our way towards the NBA finals at this point. Three different NBA seasons have fallen within the last 12 months.
How's that possible?
The championship ending of that season, all of last season, and now the start of this one, all within 12 months.
THT is a vet now.
That will never, ever happen again. Hopefully, it'll never happen again. But you can almost flush last season as an anomaly when it comes to things like injuries and just the flow of the season, the crowds, all of those things. As weird as the bubble season was with, you know, regular season, a shutdown for an extended period of time, and then ramp it back up in Florida with everybody, it at least had a very normal component at the beginning. Last year, there's nothing normal about it.
No, nothing normal about it. And what's kind of add to the mix here. So let me use Sunday as an example. Okay, this is what Sunday is. You got Rams, Cardinals, both 3-0. You got Dodgers in their final regular season game of the season walking into the playoffs. You have the Lakers starting freaking preseason basketball against Brooklyn. That's where we are in sports right now. Like, that's, you know, this is part of the being here and kind of media day. It also reminds you that all these sports are starting to collide. And let's just say that coming into this upcoming Lakers season, it's going to be as exciting as these two other squads that also have a chance to win a Super Bowl and a World Series.
Do you know how many times I'm going to say the following sentence over the next 9 months or so?
You're hungry?
LeBron James joined us earlier on the show and said the following. I had another LeBron cut for you that I got to hear because it is absolutely fantastic. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Dwight Howard right here. It's Dwight Howard, right? This is the Dwight Howard.
It's the octopus. Little respect.
By the way, when you asked him, hey, do you want me to call you Octopus? And he said yes. I can't tell you how many things went through my mind. I'm like, I don't know if he's serious. Like, do I not call him Dwight the rest of the way?
Yeah, look, I put it to you this way.
What if he wasn't even acknowledging me when I would like go to my question and say, Dwight, he just turned back to you waiting for your question.
I got
nervous there.
I think had you addressed him as the octopus for the entire interview, he would have been 100% okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been, okay, we're done with that. He was all in. I like that Frank Vogel gave him a little love for being the octopus as well.
Oh, no, he's very impressed. It wasn't we weren't talking about what's Dwight going to do for you on the court. How'd he sound? Can I tell you a funny story?
Kind of
a random story yesterday. I never watched. We actually did one of these, you know, are you watching the shows American Idol, this, that? So my girlfriend was watching The Voice, and I had never seen it before. I've never watched The Voice. Trav, when I tell you I couldn't turn off The Voice yesterday, like, am I allowed to share that? I couldn't turn it off.
Yeah.
And there were commercials that
lean
were going.
Lean into it, Al. Be a fan of The Voice.
Listen to me. Listen
Call
to
it
me.
Out to the world. I'm a Kelly Clarkson guy. I'm all over that. I'm just a Blake Shelton guy.
Okay, relax. Relax, okay? Let me just kind of say this at my own temperature here.
I still don't understand why you can interrupt me, but I can't interrupt you. I'm really confused at the protocol of this show where you're allowed to talk whenever you want, but I'm not.
That's a good point.
I got to tell you guys something. I had a friend who was on The Voice. He actually got pretty far. He got to the finale last year.
I didn't even know the setup and how this thing works. That's a really good show. Like, there's actually the personalities – Kelly Clarkson's really entertaining. John Legend is fantastic. I forget, is it Blake on the other
Blake
side?
Blake Shelton and Ariana Grande. Did you even watch
Ariana
the show?
Ariana Grande's great.
Yeah. Do you
There's
even voice, bro?
I love that when it came down to the analysis of it, now you're upset. Now you're like, you obviously weren't taking notes. You didn't watch the show well. And it made me think, a week ago she was saying, do you guys watch any of those shows? Or I think it was Funches doing the competition shows. I'm like, no, I don't watch any of them. And I was proud of it. Yesterday, my girlfriend, she'd go do whatever she's doing. I'm like, I'm just going to keep this on for a little bit longer.
I'm okay with some of them. Like, my lane is more like an America's Got Talent lane, because there's some stuff that's a little goofy. There's some acrobats and magicians and things like that. When people are singing and it gets a little emotional, I have to turn it off. I don't want somebody emoting at me through the TV. That's not my jam. I'm turning on the TV to get entertained. I don't want to feel your feelings when I'm watching
Susan
TV.
Back from Britain's Got Talent, that woman who was such
a singer. Was amazing. Yeah, she was an amazing. She became like a famous singer too, right? Yeah, no, that was
my dad has all her albums.
There you go. So there she's selling albums on this side of the pond as well. Dwight, this is how we got started with the octopus.
That's right.
Dwight brought up something that we hadn't talked about. We didn't get a parade when the Lakers won the title a couple of years ago. Dwight says he's ready for a parade this year.
I want a parade, man. I want to celebrate. I want to have my shirt off. We did it. Yeah. Throw some candy in the crowd. You know, I want to run around the stadium. I just can't wait. You know, I'm super excited, and I think it's going to be an awesome year.
All I heard was shirts off.
I heard was he wants to throw candy in the crowd, which I thought was entertaining. You know, I wonder if that's how a lot of these guys feel, right? I mean, Milwaukee won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks got an amazing parade.
Sure.
They got their fans packed into the arena, and also how many fans did they have outside of the arena? Mm-hmm. Like, they got the full experience. And even though it didn't really start until playoffs started, you know, you remember – Phoenix had, I think, almost a full house against the Lakers, but Lakers couldn't do it because the state of California and L.A. had different mandates than Arizona. Milwaukee got that whole feeling. And that, you know, when Dwight explains that, I want a parade, can you think about that? Never in the history of the NBA had you, or really in sports, and I don't know, and obviously the Dodgers are in a similar predicament here, never in the history did you get a chance to win something, get to that ultimate goal, and you got to celebrate it with nobody.
Yeah, it's interesting that they didn't get to do it, because with Dwight specifically, go back a few championships ago when Mark Madsen was at the parade, right? That's still now where
Shaq
he's
is rapping
dancing and he's speaking Spanish and he's doing what Mark Madsen did. I have a feeling Dwight might give us a few parade moments as well. Maybe not quite on the Madsen level, but Dwight strikes me as somebody that's really going to enjoy a parade.
Yeah, I that's the only reason why I mention it is it's so easy to forget that, these guys never got a parade. L.A. obviously never got a parade. And with Rondo coming back, Rondo mentioned that too. Rondo did his introduction, his press conference. Mm-hmm. He talked about how, look, we never got to experience what every other team in the league has got a chance to experience, including Milwaukee. We'll see if Lakers can make that happen.
Yeah, look, I go back and forth. I love the idea of – it's all about the championship. It's all about the parade. It's all about what happens in April. It's all about getting championship number 18.
These guys stopped us a couple times, by the way, when we mentioned that. You know, LeBron was like, no, no, no. We know what the goal is.
Yeah.
Every single day is a different challenge. Every single day is a different process.
He's about the process. Right.
Right. He's about the process. And who else was it? Somebody else said it too. It might have been Dwight Howard. Oh, no, Dwight was actually already going to the parade. Dwight was already.
Russell, maybe? So hard. We had everybody out. It's very hard to keep them all straight at this
point. I can't
remember. You know, everybody that matters on the Lakers came by the show today. It's very hard to keep it all organized.
Way to be very subtle about it. Very subtle. but there's this kind of, I think, this thought process from us. It's so easy to say, well, it's a championship. It's a championship or bust, all that stuff. These guys, you know, you forget that LeBron's not thinking about April. He's not thinking about... He said he's thinking about tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific, right here at the Lakers training. That's what he's thinking about.
Yeah.
Like there's a different feel for, you know, obviously the big picture in mind.
Well, you heard Russell Westbrook say too that, look, I bring a certain amount of intensity to every game, that preparation is key, that we need to be ready to go. LeBron mentioned that there isn't going to be complacency with this group. There isn't going to be
said, I won't let it happen.
Look, in, they play 82 games. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of games. And if we're being 100% honest and above board here, many of them.
There's a lot of pre and post game shows. Just saying. Just pointed that out.
I'm well aware. Many of them don't really add up to much. It's either a win or a loss, and you keep it moving, and you go on to the next one. There are a few games that you feel like, okay, I can pull something out. It's this long, slow build to what matters. And you're going to have that ebb and flow. You're going to have a week where the team doesn't look like it's playing its best basketball, maybe even a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
I think those low periods for this team are going to be few and far between. They'll have them because every team has them over 82 games, but I don't think you're going to have extended periods of time where you're like, what's going on with these guys?
What do you think? It's interesting when you explain it that way because I'm trying to kind of figure out, all right, well, one of the questions you kept bringing up was, how long does it take? Like, you've been in the league for a long time. Does it take a couple of months to kind of feel like you're in a groove? I wonder with the Lakers, how much does that kind of fall into play in the big picture? Like, does it really matter every single game? Does every game matter for the Los Angeles Lakers as you get into the big picture, I guess you can say? I wonder how much that does come into play if it's, hey, we're going to need a couple of months, but we don't care where we are in the standings.
Yeah, I think you figure it out as much in practice as you do in the games, right? And I asked Russell Westbrook that, like, you know, fit. How do the pieces fit together? He said, I don't know. Well, this is why we're going to practice. This is why we're going to play the games. This is how you go about doing this. You can put it all on a piece of paper, like we talked about with the positions. Oh, I want to put this guy here. Oh, I'm going to put the – oh, wait, what if we put – Dwight at the 5, and we put AD at the 4, we put LeBron at the 1. What if we try Russ at the, you know, all of these different things?
Yeah.
Who knows? You can almost take it to the bank. There will be a couple of combinations that are terribly obvious, and there will be a couple along the way that you said, oh, you know what? I didn't think that was going to look quite like that, but man, if that doesn't look great.
I almost canceled my Twitter account yesterday.
Why?
I saw Alex Caruso wearing a Chicago Bulls uniform. That was a very difficult moment for many of us out there.
I thought you were going to say because of the tattoos that you were supposed to get, that you were requested to get.
I was never supposed to get any tattoo. AC, Alex Caruso, looked weird. Isn't Media Day Kuzma in a Wizards uniform?
Yeah, that's
very weird.
No, that's always jarring the first time you see one of those guys that's been on your team and he's wearing different. Look, I mean, when you see somebody in that new gear for the DeAndre Jordan's right there wearing a Laker uniform for half a second, you're like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. And then he told us his favorite color was purple. And it's like, okay, that makes a lot more sense. I'm going to say something that's going to be terribly unpopular. You ready?
Yeah.
People are going to get over Alex Caruso real fast.
Why?
Because he was just a player on this team. Everybody needs to calm down with that stuff. He was just a guy. There was nothing unique about that.
There's been two other occasions when we were in studio that I said I'd come swinging. This will be the third.
Well, I'm telling you.
I might miss every swing.
When you get a guy that is a fan favorite, and he was.
No, but AC was a good player. He was a good player for them.
He is a good player, but so are all these other guys.
Yeah, but here's – let me kind of explain the perspective. Lakers lost – here's the reality. They lost some wing defenders. They lost Caruso. They did lose KCP. Those are two guys that can actually play defense and were a part of – are they replaceable? Of course they're replaceable. Yeah. No question about it. What the Lakers are going to have to figure out from a defensive perspective this year, they lost some guys that were helpful with them defense, and then they also gained a lot of different defensive positions. Lakers will be fine, but don't undermine my
it's not
Alex
undermining.
Caruso.
It's not undermining. It's I've watched them play. I've watched him play. I've watched him play without LeBron James, and
when,
it is
when
imminently
When Chicago
replaceable.
Comes to play the Lakers, and I've not looked at the schedule.
They'll give him a standing
hurtful.
Go. They'll
it's
love
hurtful.
Him. They'll love him. Laker fans love him. I understand that he's a popular guy, but this, you know, Alex Caruso, everybody calm down a little bit. We'll be fine. Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Alex Caruso. We're good.
I like our chances. I don't want to give you credit.
Every once in a while, I'll pull some credit out. All right. Dodgers get back at it tonight. Off day yesterday.
Walker Buehler on the mound.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know if this isn't the most important start of his entire season tonight. We'll explain next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.